Good morning. Well, if you had a hard time understanding Brother Barnes, I don't know what you're going to do about my accent here this morning, but I'll try to speak as clearly as possible. When I first came to this country in 1988, I did not know English, and yet I came here to study at Bob Jones University. Can you imagine going through classes without understanding your teachers? That was my situation back then. And I had just one semester to learn English and learn it fast. So I prayed very hard, I studied very hard. And I remember by the end of that first semester, I was in chapel and I was able to understand the speaker. And tears came down my face because I knew then that the barrier had been removed. Now, I not only speak English, but I speak Southern English. Y'all be careful now, you hear? But if you have any problem understanding my English, you can ask me later what I try to say. Thank you so much, Dr. Mike Patterson, Bill Patterson, for allowing me to be here this morning and share the Word of God with these wonderful people. I have been so blessed by being here with you this week, all the sermons, all the messages. They have spoken to my heart, and they are helping me to become a better Christian and a better person. And I just want you to know that I am what I am by the grace of God. Because if you knew me like God knows me, you would not like me. I know this is true about all of us, but it is so important to always understand that only by God's grace. And I want to thank God for my family, especially for my wife, Rachel. She is the, like I said yesterday, the third generation of missionaries in her family. And I could not have the ministry that I have without my wife. She's not 50% of my ministry. She is 100% of my ministry. And I'm very grateful for the wife that God has given me. Because through her, I have two wonderful, precious daughters. And through her, I became a part of a beautiful, wonderful missionary family. What a blessing to be able and to have the honor to call Mike Patterson my uncle. What a blessing, what a privilege to say that Bill is my cousin, to be a part of this missionary family, the Pattersons, the McCoys, and the Gilmers. And this is just an expression of God's love, mercy, and His care for me and for all of us. I'm a church planter. I am a missionary in Brazil, not because I am a Brazilian, but because God called me to Brazil. And this morning, I want to share with you something that happens all the time with us missionaries. As we go from church to church, and we are church planters, pastors, especially pastors, they like to ask this question: Brother Ram, what is the secret to grow the ministry? What's the key behind your ministry? How come you have established 4 Bible-believing churches in 19 years? I want to know the secret. And in a very humble way, I have to answer these pastors, there's no secret. The recipe has been revealed in the Word of God. The recipe is in the Bible. And we do not need to even go to a Bible college to learn how to grow the ministry. But we do need to return to the Bible, the Word of God. Would you please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 14. Now, I was told by Brother Steve that I should stop by 10. Now, let's do this. If you keep saying amens, I might go a little bit further than 10 o'clock. But if you stop saying amen, I'll stop a little earlier. So you decide. I was afraid that Dr. Wilkerson was about to preach my sermon But he did not, although he used the same story. But here in Matthew 14, verses 13 through 21, we read about the multiplication of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I just want to call your attention to verses 13 and 14. And Jesus heard of it, and he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. I want to talk to you this morning about the miracle of multiplication. How many of you believe in miracles? But we are not seeing miracles in our days as we used to see in the past. At least I hear pastors telling me that in the past they saw more people being called to the ministry. Last night, after Brother Hayes preached, we saw a man surrendering his life to the ministry. And everybody was so excited because this is not happening so often anymore. So we need to see more miracles. And I believe that it depends on us more than it depends on God, because God is doing miracles and he wants to do more miracles. And miracles are God's specialty. But our specialty should be to obey the word of God. Here, with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, Jesus was able to feed more than 5,000 people. We believe that he fed at least 15,000 people. But we need to keep in mind that this miracle happened immediately after the death of John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, closest friend. So Jesus was very sad within himself. But at the same time, he was able to look around and see the needs of other people. Perhaps he was in the desert trying to be alone, to pray or to rest. But thousands of people followed him from a great distance. And rather than thinking about his own rights and his needs, Jesus noticed their sacrifice and had great compassion for them. He not only satisfied their hunger, but the Bible says that at the end of the day, there were 12 basketfuls left over. So Jesus went beyond their needs because they had gone out of their way to see and to hear the Lord Jesus. So as we can see here, the secret to miracles is to look beyond our own feelings and needs. And let me say that again. The secret to miracles is to be able to look beyond our own feelings and needs, and to look around and notice the needs of others. If Jesus had stayed on the mountain to mourn the death of John the Baptist, or just to flee his enemies, there would have been no love, no compassion, no miracle. But Jesus was able to overcome his own problems and to take care of the problems of others. That's why verse 14 is so important. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion. We still need to see the miracle of multiplication in our days. Not of bread, not of fish, but of souls. We need to see more people getting saved. We need to see more people coming to the knowledge of the Savior. This church, in every church, the ones that we establish, the ones that you pastor, depends on people getting saved to grow. We cannot grow if people are not getting saved. We cannot grow if we are just training Christians from one church to the other. We need to see people getting saved if we want to continue doing the work of God. We depend on multiplication. But here's the question. How can we grow the ministry? Now, with all the due respect, I believe in education. I received education. I'm still receiving education. But we don't need to go to a Bible college to learn how to grow the ministry. We just need to go back to the Bible. back to the Word of God. We must work, but knowing that the increase comes from God. So what is necessary for the growth of the ministry? First of all, based on this passage, it is necessary to have compassion for people. Do you love people? Because if you are in the ministry, you must love people, care for people, you must have compassion. And the word compassion is a very, very strong word. The writers of the Bible believed that our internal organs were the throne of mercy and love within each one of us. Because compassion is a feeling from the inside out. It is something that happens inside ourselves. And then when we feel compassion, we are led to action. We are led to action. It is impossible to feel compassion and do nothing about it. Well, you can have pity and do nothing about it, but when you have compassion, you are led to do something about it. So as soon as Jesus felt compassion for those people, he had to do something about it, their situation, because compassion will lead us to action. First of all, he saw their physical needs. They were hungry and they were sick. Those were two physical needs, and Jesus was able to supply those needs. Now, all human beings possess the same kinds of needs. Here in the States, there in Brazil, human beings are born with needs and they die with needs. Among the multitude, Jesus saw the sick and the hungry. Now the disciples, they did something that we usually do ourselves. They acted as if the problem was not of their concern. But Jesus did not hide himself, and he said to his disciples, "Give ye them to eat." So Jesus told the disciples, "It is our problem as well." Now the disciples' solution was our solution. Jesus sent them away, sent them back home. Nobody told them to come here. They are not our problem. So the disciples didn't care for the elderly, for the children, for the women, for the sick. But Jesus cared for them. So Jesus saw their physical needs. But more important than that, he saw their spiritual needs. In another chapter, in another book, John chapter 6, it says that Jesus was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus offered himself to become their shepherd, to become their Savior and their Lord. So Jesus was only using their physical needs to approach a most important need, their salvation, their souls. Now let me ask you this question again. Do you care for people? A pastor's wife, she told me that she would prefer to work with dogs rather than working with people. And I answered her and I said, "Sister, Jesus did not die for dogs, he died for people." I know people are complicated. I know that people sometimes they are hard to deal with. Each one of us here this morning represent a problem. But that's the kind of a problem that I want to see in the church. We need people to do the work of God. We cannot do the work of God without people. So people are always welcome. And the first impression that people have inside the church is not the size of the building. The first impression is not how handsome the pastor is or how well the church can sing. Sometimes they don't even understand the sermon. But there's one thing that they understand: love. People can feel, people can see love inside the church. So as soon as they come inside the church, they need to feel that they are welcome and there's compassion inside that church. They will come back because of compassion. They might not come back because of the preaching. So compassion is everything. We need to care for people. We need to love people. And I tell students and I tell new missionaries, if you're not people-oriented, you are in the wrong vocation. If you're not a people-oriented person, if you don't care for people, you should not be in the ministry. Because the ministry has nothing to do with things. The ministry has to do with people. First of all, it is necessary to have compassion for people. But then, it is necessary to have confidence in the power of God. Yes. Not on ourselves. Confidence in the promises of God. As soon as Jesus said, "Give me them to eat," they answered, "But there's no food. There's no money." Now, if Jesus had told me to feed 15,000 people with only 5 loaves of bread, rather than saying to God, "This is impossible," you don't say to God something is impossible. But they said it. I would have crumbled the bread into 15,000 tiny pieces. This is the only human solution. But you don't tell Jesus that something is impossible. Philip did a math problem and he answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient. Can you see there was a lack of confidence in the words of Jesus? Can you see there was a lack of faith in the commandment that Jesus had given them? When we decide to do the work of God, we must go knowing that nothing is impossible for God. When we first moved to the Midwest of Brazil, to a city of 1,200,000 people, we were there by ourselves. We arrived in the month of November, and we spent our first Christmas alone. Just the 3 of us back then. My wife, my baby daughter, and me. And Rachel, my wife, she grew up with her family, always involved with her family for Christmas, her friends, church members. And for the first time, just the 3 of us spending Christmas alone. My wife was very sad. And in tears, she asked me, "What are we doing here? Nobody's happy we just arrived. Nobody feels a need for us." By faith, I had to answer my wife, "Rachel, I am sure that the Lord has called us here. And I'm sure that your feelings of loneliness will soon be just a memory." 1 year later, next Christmas, we had 25 new converts celebrating Christmas with us inside our house. God is more than willing to bless our ministry. But the increase is the result of real compassion for people and confidence in His power. You should never believe in your abilities and trust your gifts when you go out to do the work of God. Because without Christ, we can do nothing. Third, it is necessary to have cooperation. And I want you to stay here for a little while. In verse 17, they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes." Now, God created the world out of nothing. He does not need our help in that sense. He created the world out of nothing. But when it comes to missions, He wants to use the little we have and multiplies it. He wants to use whatever we have, whatever we offer Him, and multiplies it. This is what missions is all about. God using whatever we can give Him and making it big. In John chapter 6, verse 9, says that a boy, we don't know his age, 12, 15, gave all the meal, all the food that he had to help Jesus. And he didn't know what Jesus was going to do with that, but he was willing to help anyway. This is called cooperation. Because nobody can do the work of God alone. Nobody can do the work of God by himself. I like to say that sheep produce sheep. We pastors only feed the sheep. In the quality of sheep, we produce sheep. But if a church depends on the pastors only to grow, that church will never grow. But it depends on the members of the church, the sheep of the church, to produce other sheep. So the Bible does not tell us who that boy was. But how about the rich and the religious leaders among those people? Nobody came forward to help Jesus except for this young boy. So miracles always demand sacrifice. When I was a young man growing up in my church, missionary-minded church, I remember a couple donating all their savings to help our church to acquire a piece of land where they were going to build a Christian school. The father decided, we are going to give everything we have to help with the acquisition of this land. The wife said, but this money is to send our children to college. The father said, God will provide. So they gave the money. The wife was reluctant, but she followed her husband's decision. The school was built, and since then, hundreds of students have been saved. And we don't know how, but God provided, and all their children went to college. The Lord wants to bless us, but we need to do our part. That young boy, he was willing to help immediately. Everybody else waited, but he didn't. As soon as he heard there was a need, he stood up and said, I can help, I can help. He didn't want to waste any time, and he helped. Not long time ago, we were raising funds for the fourth church of our ministry. And before we ask help from our sending churches in the States, we ask our Brazilian people to do their best. But a man came to me and said, Brother Rom, I'm going to wait until the end to see if you are going to need my help. As far as I know, we never needed his help, and he never helped. And there are people like that. They are always waiting for somebody else. But that boy was so eager to help that he stood up before anybody else. Before I left Brazil to come back to the States, someone told me, Brother Rom, if you had not come to the Midwest of Brazil, my family and I would not have been saved. That's strong, isn't it? But you know what I replied? I said, if I had not come, God could have sent somebody else. But praise God that I came. Praise God that it was me. So once for all, let us understand that miracles of God require compassion for people, confidence in His power, not ours, and cooperation. We need to work together. Nobody can do the work of God alone. All the sending churches that sent us to Brazil, they made our ministry possible in Brazil. We could not have done what we have done without their help, their prayers, their participation in our lives. And last of all, it is necessary to have coordination. And a better word for that is organization. Jesus and the disciples were very organized in doing the work of God. Verse 19 says, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. The work of God cannot happen by coincidence. We must be organized. We must plan ahead. There in Brazil, from time to time, when we are preaching or when we are there in the pulpit, people that we don't know show up in the services. And they come to the platform and they say, Pastor Ron, God the Holy Spirit has sent me here to preach to your people. But these are people that I don't know. I don't know where they're coming from. I don't know their doctrines and their denominations. And I have to answer them, I'm sorry, but God the Holy Spirit forgot to tell me that you were coming. We are not ready for you. We don't do things like that here. We plan ahead. Because this is the work of God. This is not the work of man. It must be well done. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I guarantee, if we go out with compassion for people, for souls, and if we go out with confidence that God is almighty and all-powerful and nothing is impossible for Him, if we go out with cooperation, receiving help from others, working together, and by the way, as a missionary, I am tired of division. Missions is hurt because of division. This church will not take me on for support because I went to Bob Jones University or because I went to Pensacola Christian College. This is trash. This doesn't come from the Word of God. We need cooperation and not division in the body of Christ. Yes, we are fundamentalists and we will never compromise doctrines. Amen?
Amen.
But schools, this has nothing to do with the Bible.
Amen.
What we need is cooperation to accomplish the work of God. And then we need coordination. We need planning ahead. But let me conclude this sermon by giving you a vivid illustration. Because I know you're going to forget everything that I'm saying here. But you're not going to forget what I'm going to show you now. I need five volunteers, five men, to help me with this illustration. And I think Donald lined up these five people already. And I need them to come over here. Very good. Ryan, I think you are the smallest, so I want you to lie down on the floor. And the other four men, come up here with me, please. Okay, let's come closer. Now, you know the story of the crippled man who could not go to Jesus. Look, it's hard to take that man by yourself to see Jesus, isn't it? None of us could do it. He's crippled. He cannot move around. And he heard that Jesus was passing by. And he had the desire to see Jesus. Jesus was going to do something about it, about his situation. But nobody cared for him. Besides not being able to walk, there was a great multitude between him and Jesus. But this young man was passing by. And he saw the crippled man, and he had compassion. He felt compassion for his situation. He felt compassion for his desire to see Jesus. And compassion led him to do something about it. And he looked at him and he said, I want to help you. I love you. I care for you. But by myself, I cannot carry you to see Jesus. I'm not that strong. So he called one of his friends. And his friend also felt compassion. He also felt the desire to help the crippled man to see Jesus. But even the two of them were not able to do it by themselves because there was a multitude. It was impossible to go through that multitude to see Jesus. The multitude was not going to allow them to go through them. So they called somebody else and another person. Now, the four friends got together. They had the same compassion for the crippled man. They decide that Jesus was powerful to do something. If they were able to take this man to see Jesus, they were confident that Jesus was able to do something about his situation. Then, they worked together. They knew that together, the work was going to be much easier. They knew that together, the work was going to be much faster. And together, cooperating together, they decided, we are going to take him to see Jesus. But how can we do that? They had to plan ahead. So they decided we can go through the ceiling. Yes, we can plan to take this man through the ceiling. We will overcome the multitude by going through the ceiling. Then one of them said, but if we destroy the ceiling, we have to pay for it. We have to fix it. And they together decided we can pay for the ceiling. It's going to be very costly for one person. But if we divide the cost among the four of us, we can handle it. We can afford it. So they planned ahead. And they made a hole in the ceiling. And they coordinated. And safely, they brought the crippled man to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now give me four people like this in each church, and you will see miracles happening every day, all the time, every service, because God's specialty is to operate miracles. Amen. Ours should be to obey God's word. The more we obey God's word, the more miracles we'll see in our ministry. Amen. Do you want to see miracles? Amen. Start by having compassion. Don't talk about it, but show compassion. Lord, we pray that you help us to have compassion. It is so easy for us to grow colder and just quote what the Bible says, but without feeling it and without meaning it. But I pray that this morning the Holy Spirit will come and help us to have the real love that we need to have when we are in the ministry. And through this love, help us to trust you, to have confidence that nothing is impossible for our God. And then help us, Father, to seek for help and get others involved in our ministry, because we need their help, because the work of God is not the work of a man, but it is the work of a people. And then help us to plan ahead, because we must do things for God orderly and must be well done, because it is for God. Forgive us where we have failed and help us to do right. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Thank you, everybody.